Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with the Luke and Pete Show. It is Thursday. I do hope you're keeping well. We ended the last show, Luke, we were talking about import, export, candy and snack choices. Now, not something we've spoken about before on this show, but I really have to express a deep and undying love for the Takis Fuegos range of crisps. Corn snacks, crisps. They're hot. I think they might be Mexican. They are delicious.
I've never heard of them. Tell me more.
A bit like a spicy Cheetos, but more aggressive. They taste like they've got a bit more like habanero or like some kind of chili in there. Oh, it's bloody lovely. I can't. Arsenic. If you ever get the opportunity, arsenic. You could have arsenic in it, yeah. But if you ever get the chance, Luke, I heartily recommend those.
I'm literally just made a note of that right now because I love a savoury snack, and I would just bring this one to the table. My favourite crisps are the Spanish brand Torres. Now, before you all look, everyone listening looks that up online and goes, bloody hell, they're about £8 a bag. Sometimes they are about £8 a bag. I don't know why, because I think if you get them from Amazon Fresh, they might have some kind of supply problem or something, or maybe they're imported. But the black truffle version of Torres, and I'm speaking from the point of view of a man from the working classes who used to hate posh crisps with a passion because I thought it was an absolute insult to the proper people of this fair island. But I'm a full convert now. Torres black truffle, the best crisp you can buy. I'll never go back now.
I just always find with the posh crisps, the Tyrrells, etc., that they they're too oily and too crisp and
too hard,
and kind of like they fracture in your mouth. Too hard. Yeah, there's no that Walkers are delicious. You know, I love me Pringles, even though they're just reconstituted dust.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand why we're in a situation eating crisps that are just too hard.
My beef with the posh crisp phenomenon used to be that, you know, when some bright spark in the video game industry thought, people love video games. Why don't we market a video game console with adults? And we'll make a load of money because adults have got more money than kids have, right? Someone basically went, what are the working classes eating? They're eating a lot of crisps. I'm the same. I eat loads of crisps. And they've said, well, middle-class people have got more money, so why don't we market them at middle-class people? And instead of calling them salt and vinegar crisps, we'll call them sea salt and balsamic vinegar of Modena potato crisps, and more people will buy them. We could charge a pound extra, and what we'll do is we'll cut them slightly thicker so they're really hard, and we'll put more oil in them so they're greasier, which presumably I guess will make people eat more or drink more beer. And it was a very callous, cynical marketing ploy, but unfortunately, Pete, as I sit here in 2021 in the middle of a pandemic with crisps being partly the only enjoyment I get out of life, I'm a full convert now. I think what's happened is I've tried all the other crisps, and now I've just moved on to the big, expensive ones.
The big ones. If you refuse to eat any snack these days that doesn't have a Victorian man with a stovepipe hat on with looking through a telescope on the front.
Well, you and I met for our mutual love of steampunk, so that makes perfect sense. But I would say I treat every savoury snack the same, no matter if it's £5 a bag or 20p a bag. I will happily eat a cheese ball as much as I'll happily eat a Torres black truffle.
Yeah, Transformer snack compared
to... Can you still find them?
Not Faberge egg. You can't eat them. Oh, yeah, I love a Transformer snack. Love making little cars, making them drive in your mouth. Lovely old job.
Yeah, I didn't know if you could still find them.
Lovely old job. Yeah, you used to see them. What were the ones, Space Raiders, who had that like kind of B-Jams, Pound Stretcher version of David Bowie on the front? Enjoyable.
No, that actually was David Bowie. That was his first endorsement. Oh, in the 80s when he was down his luck a bit.
I've been noticing, is it Happy Socks or something? Some kind of sock brand have managed to get a Bowie licensing deal, I noticed.
Oh, really?
Which is, yeah. David Bowie? Bowie, boy. Boy.
It doesn't
boy,
matter.
Isn't it? Yeah, it kind of does. It upsets me, and I'm still getting it wrong. Yeah, no, but I saw like Happy Socks or Happy Feet or something. They've got a big boy licensing deal. So you know, Now he's gone. Cha-ching. the estate must eat.
I remember like a load of celebrities after David Bowie died, a load of celebrities who were friends with him, doing interviews. Mm. And every single one of them was saying to the interviewer, yeah, the thing about David was he's a very private man. You know, he wouldn't have said anything about his private life. And, you know, this happened and that happened. I was thinking, well, why are you fucking saying it then?
Why are you saying it?
Respect the man's wishes. Can I just talk about a TV program at David Bowie, to my knowledge, has never been on the celebrity version of. That's Come Dine With Me. Because
I think you said The Jump.
It suddenly occurred to me, the other day, my wife and I, every Sunday morning, we have a little tradition. Right. Now, for those who are listening internationally, in the UK, we have a channel here called 4/7, right? And it's kind of like a collection of different programs from Channel 4. And a lot of the time, they'll play them out in bulk. It's almost like an on-demand type thing, but on the TV, and they play things out in bulk, right? And every Sunday at 9 a.m., they do a week's worth of Come Dine With Me in a row. Right, so they'll do 9:30 to 11:30, five episodes, Monday to Friday, but in a row. And
you'll do anything to not watch J League.
Yeah, I probably will. Mate, it's hard enough to get a lot of football past my good lady wife as it is, let alone on a Sunday morning. But anyway, knowing that she knows that for the whole rest of Sunday there'll be Premier League on. The Come Dine With Me tradition we've got is that we take it in turns to make brunch for each other, and then we watch all of the Come Dine With Me's back to back, right? And we talk about the different contestants and the meals and the little themes. And when I was watching it last Sunday, it really struck me that actually, Pete, you would be the absolute best ever Come Dine With Me guest. Like,
why? What?
Well, because you know the legendary now get off my property. I hope this makes you very happy.
Buy some decorum lessons.
Yeah. And you've got all the decorum of a reversing dump truck with no tires on, that guy. So he's your kind of, he's your Tiger Woods of Come Dine With Me, right? Everyone knows him.
But I don't think you can watch
that episode now because I think it's been removed for some reason. Anyway, Donnie, you would be perfect because you are very likable. You're very quirky. They always look for quirkiness because when you're making the dinner at your house on your episode, people kind of root around your house trying to find stuff. They better find amazing stuff about you. They wouldn't know what job you did.
Get a read on me.
And you would also be a really pleasant, polite house guest. I reckon you would absolutely shoo in, definitely win. And on that note, I want to know, what would you cook for your Come Dine With Me experience?
Right. I mean, first thing first, they don't look for the quirky. They don't look for the pleasant. They look for the sociopaths. They look for the people who could start a fight in an empty room.
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice. Right. All those things apply to you.
I would cook. What would I cook? What have
Japanese
I been
theme, presumably.
Recently? Yeah, I had a low. I've been making a lot of pretty advanced. I had kimchi for breakfast, and then I had some for afters on my breakfast. I had a little bit of delicious chocolate cereal. So, I mean, that's, and then I did half an hour on the little exercise machine. So that's my day. Effective. I mean, that's how I start.
You're not going to win with that kind of approach. Do you have a dish that you can I'm cook currently... though? Do you have like a meal that you can cook that is your go-to, that if people are coming for dinner?
I'm very good at pancakes. That's all I've got for you, Luke. All I've got is any kind of batter. I'm pretty good at frying stuff. I'm pretty good at going, Sarah, I'm gonna go into the kitchen and I'm going to surprise you. And it's never going to be a good surprise, but it's going to be a surprise. You're going to be surprised about what we had in our freezer. You really will. And a lot of the things you think wouldn't be able to be cooked straight from frozen because of salmonella.
And
but
you'd be
I
right.
will have a good go at it. You'd be right. Luckily, she's got a very good constitution. But I do just find stuff in the freezer. We had a barbecue on Saturday. I found one of those little portable barbecues in my little palace, I like to call the garage, and made a little bit of food. I put scallops on there. I put like bits of chicken on there, chicken sausages and stuff. We had a lovely old time. It was delicious.
That would go down well. Get people into the garden, do them a little Barbie. The other thing you've got to learn, there's a lot of lessons. So a lot of lessons to be learned from the TV show Come Dine With Me. A couple of them now, I'll just tell you. One is that you can't spend too much time in the kitchen away from your guests. Your guests don't like that.
Yeah.
They want you to spend time with them, right? The second one is that you've got to think carefully about your entertainment, because you've got to do entertainment as well, right? And a lot of it is really thoughtful and really well done, but it's too niche. I'll give you an example. There was a guy who cooked on last week's one, and he did like a Senegalese themed meal, right? Because his wife is from Senegal. No one liked it, Pete. They couldn't get on board with it. They didn't know what they were doing. They just, it was too exotic for them.
Right.
He did this, there was some amazing African dancing in the garden between main course and dessert. I'd have absolutely loved it. It fell on deaf ears.
Did they all feel like, I don't know, Boris Johnson on an away day? It seems a bit like I can't really sort of get Theresa May having a dance with some kind
little
of like
bit.
Villagers or something.
I think what they probably do is they plan their entertainment section before they've met the people they're on the show with. And so they don't get a chance to kind of read the room. So if you're committing to like a big, long session of Senegalese dancing and you can't change it, it's a low percentage play because I don't know if people know what to do.
Do you not think it's a? Do you not think all of the kind of choices that are made are kind of pre-done at the interview stage by producers anyway? Because you find on shows like that the producers have clearly went right. You've got to do it. Like Don't Tell the Bride is a really good example of you get a very finite amount of choices. Like you go, right, I'm into music, so we're going to have like an indie themed wedding, or I'm into the banana boat in Ibiza, so we're going to have a beach wedding. You know what I mean? All that stuff that comes up, they've clearly been cajoled into corral down a certain path and they can't really break out of it.
No, because and I think in principle, you're absolutely spot on, but I'm going to give you a little bit of insight here into Come Dine With Me. And the beauty behind it, right? It's on its 46th season, Pete. The production company's given up. They'll have anyone on there. They'll have anyone on there now. So what's happened is it's gone full circle, the reality thing with Come Dine With Me. They just need people. They need bodies now. So they'll do it. They'll let anyone on there.
Can I interest you in a slightly more down-at-heel show on that theme? Dinner Date on ITV.
Not seen it. Talk to me.
It's exactly the same as Come Dine With Me, but a woman or a man or anyone starts with five or six menus, and behind every menu is a person who's down to fuck. And you've got to cajole that person into wanting to know you a bit better by cooking a great meal. And the problem is a lot of kids nowadays, and it is a lot younger, it does skew a lot younger, they've only got one interest, and that's the gym. So they're kind of limited by their choices. They're kind of limited by their diet. They don't drink very much. They don't eat, you know, extravagant meals. They don't really know what a lot of the food is on the menus, and they always pronounce it wrong.
Just protein.
It's
just protein bars.
Yeah. If you love that, honestly, some of the chat is nuclear bollocks. They cannot speak. They literally have no interests apart from going to the gym and socializing, and they can't talk, in my opinion. Maybe it's just the people they choose, the subset that agree to be on Dinner Date for some fucking reason. But they're all as thick as mints, the lot of them. But I still watch it because it's on after Buying and Selling, my favorite TV show.
I've not seen it, but I have seen it advertised. Producer Nat's telling me in my chat box that she loves Dinner Date. The food is always awful, and so is the chat. They clearly just want to bang. So that's basically what you've said, Pete.
Honestly, it's, and you know, I don't know whether that's lads who you find in All Bar One at 11 o'clock who are down to clown, if that's what that their chat is. But the lads are just so fucking dry.
Yeah.
Hot to trot. Yeah. They're so dry. Like, they just can't. They've got no chat to them. And there's nothing about the world makes me fear for the youth of today. But dinner date, in particular, makes me worry.
So do they have to cook the dinner for the... So basically, they cook dinner for a different person every day and they choose their favourite at the end of the week. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh, it's exactly the same format as that. And also, and you get rated with stars rather than numbers. And
they just pick the most attractive one, right, basically?
You can usually tell. You can usually tell. It's like that kind of... it's kind of that old joke that SNL used to do about The Bachelor. Or The Bachelor. No, yeah, The Bachelor. The Bachelor never chose the minority, the black girl or the minority on that show. So if you're a minority, you rarely get picked. If you're not blonde and tall with big old boobies, as a woman, you never
I'm
get chosen.
I'm quitting here. Blonde and tall with big old... I'm laughing. I should enter. You just summed me up perfectly.
And the men are just wet, absolute wet boys. So it's really fun if you want to sort of go, oh, dear.
So
the
best version of reality show, like dating shows, has got to be the absolute apotheosis of these types of things, which is either Rock of Love with the guy from Poison, what's his name, Brett someone, or Flavor Michaels? Of Love with Flavor Flav. those were the absolute apex. Like, obviously they're American, not British. But I'll check out dinner date. I mean, to be honest, the reason
you're going to love it. It'll be on by the time we finish this recording. Stick on the telly, ITVB. It's always on, and it's got the same kind of production as well. You've got a sarcastic. I think it's the woman who used to be on a BBC Two. I think it was Pint of Lager and a Packet of Crisps. It's the shorter, curly haired lady.
She's doing all sorts of bits and pieces.
Not Sheridan Smith. No,
she's not getting your Smith on.
But she would. She just does like kind of cheeky little commentary behind it, much like. The other one.
If you're offering dinner date to Smith, you're not getting through the agent's door, are you?
Well, she's doing that dog show, isn't she? I mean, she's kind of easing off the acting roles and the theatrical roles and just going straight in with little easy peasy presenting roles.
Am I getting little Diggory dancing on there as a voiceover or not?
What do you mean? On what?
Would you do the voiceover on dinner date if you were offered it?
I'd take anything. I don't have any VO jobs.
And that's why you'll never get it.
Don't have an agent.
That's right. You'll never get it.
Someone call me. Help.
Look, the only
VO I can get is Stakhanov VOs, and I do them myself.
Before we get to the break, I just want to say my tastes for these types of shows are a little bit more common or garden. So I prefer the ones that are on during the day. I don't really like the youth culture ones. I like your Come Diamond Me's. I like your Four in the Beds. They're great. Where you go? Where they go and rate each other's B&Bs.
Yeah. Look. Do it tonight. Give us a review next time around. Watch a bit of Dinner Date. It ticks a lot of boxes.
So the good thing about Four in a Bed is that essentially the people on it are so petty that they completely forget after the first 5 minutes that essentially it's a marketing exercise for your establishment, and that if you are really nice, it's the best advert you could ever get. No, they want to win the 50 quid.
No, they want to be petty. And going, I didn't like the way that tomato was cooked. Yeah. It's disgusting.
What you could do is you could be the nicest people ever, show what great hosts you are and get a load of business, repeat business for your business. Or you could run your finger around a toilet bowl 5 times and complain about a pube. Guess what they choose?
And if you go first, you're always going to be in a situation where, look, you're either, if you're nice, you're absolutely fine. But if you go in hard, it's really obvious who's done each individual review after a while, and people will mark you down. It's a lose-lose situation if you go in hard.
It's a tip for
silly.
Tat. I want my B&B room to be clean. I'm not going to put my finger down the plug hole to see if there's a pube in there. And nor are many guests. So bear that in mind.
Not unless I'm very
hungry. Not unless I dropped a Skittle down there. I'd be very interested among our lovely listening community to know where they think the prime day to win Come Dine With Me is. Because for me, I think you probably want to be going on the Monday. Everyone's positive. No one's got a hangover. Just don't get it wrong. Don't make any basic errors. You're going to post a very, very high early score, I think. But I'll be interested. Email us in, hello@lukeandpeacher.com. If you're a fan of Come Dine With Me, maybe you've done the maths. Maybe you're like Ali Darlow of Monday Show, but you've done the maths of statistically what the best day is in a spreadsheet. Yeah.
Yeah. They do say, I know a couple of people who actually didn't come down with me, and they are both celebrity and not, but it is a long day of filming every day. And you're obviously filming for an entire 5-day period, and it is literally 7 in the morning to like 2 in the morning.
Right.
It's a long, long filming day. So you're in a situation where, The ones at the end of the week, people are going to be tired, people are going to be hungover, people don't want to cook.
Hate each other,
people are knackered.
You don't want Friday, do you, on that?
No, nobody wants Friday. Nobody wants Friday. Nobody's up for dancing.
Do they draw
around.
Out
Nobody's
of a hat, Pete?
Up for belly dancing in a fez. No one's up for that.
Do you think they draw it out of a hat then?
Probably. Maybe they do. I don't know. It's probably just worked out logistically. Mm. This is closest to the bus station or the airport for everyone to get back.
All right, listen, I'll check out dinner date ahead of next week's shows.
Right.
Let's have a quick break.
Do it.
Do get in touch, hello@lukeandpeacher.com, and we'll read out some of your emails. And that's exactly what we're going to do after this break.
Lovely.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Clash of the Titles, things got a little awkward when Alex, Vicky and Chris discussed the Incredible Hulk going to the hairdressers.
Have you never had a haircut and gone, that is not what I asked for?
I can't remember what it's like to go to the hairdressers.
Oh God, sorry. That's triggering. Sorry.
That's on me.
Bad move.
Yeah,
bad bit. Yeah, that is on you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I forgot.
Because we haven't seen you for such a long time. We forgot you've got no hair.
I'm still bald.
Yeah, it hasn't grown back magically since we last spoke.
And over on Football Ramble Presents, the On the Continent team have been keeping you across all the European knockouts, as well as a possible title race in Ligue 1 as well.
Icardi can be so frustrating because he can be just one of the most impressive finishers. But you know, when he's not quite on it, he's kind of like the David Blaine of football. Like, he spends a lot of time in a box not doing anything.
Find Clash of the Titles and Football Ramble Presents on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And it's time for more of the Luke and Pete Show. You thought you got away with not listening to any more, but you came back. You kept listening. What have you? You know why? Why didn't you leave us? Why didn't you find something else better to do? But no.
Turn it off
around.
Now, you cunt.
Send it off now, I dare you. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the way to do it. We're talking about the old Ben Breakfast Show. I would very much like a read as to whether the following is acceptable, right? Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Does anybody else do this, right? I am seriously considering a little kettle and packets of shortbread on a tray in the bedroom.
Who's going to replace it?
Say again.
Who's going to replace it every time you eat the shortbread? It doesn't just magically appear, you know.
Well, yeah, but we'd have enough shortbread. I don't eat a lot of shortbread. I could probably get away with not eating the shortbread. And after a while, it would start to go stale anyway. But I reckon to get that kind of hotel, home away from home kind of feeling, I think instead of getting a tease made, which, as you all know, is quite kind of like 70s and quite antiquated.
Oh, it's very swingers. It's swingers. If you buy a tease made, you're a swinger.
Worse than that, a dogger. But I do have a little fridge, little mini fridge, little kind of beer fridge, filled with milk or oat milk or however you take it in the garage. And just, you know, when you get up, you don't have to really sort of leave the bedroom. You can sort of pour yourself a cup of tea.
Is that what it's come to in terms of holidays in this pandemic life we're living? I'm having a staycation. What does that mean? I've put a tray with a mini kettle and some shortbread in my bedroom. Can I also say, this speaks to the very heart of the two different types of people in this world, though. I'm very much a B&B kind of guy. When Mimi and I go away in the UK, we'll just find the nicest B&B we can afford and we'll stay there because service is always so good, right? My really good friend Dan, he is like the absolute polar opposite to that, right? He goes away a lot with business and he says, the moment I step foot in a hotel, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be spoken to. I want to be left alone. No. Imagine, Donna, you're a bit like this as well. He says...
Completely agree.
He says sometimes he'll go away for 2 weeks. He'll go to the Far East or to Australia, a long old trip where he's away for a couple of weeks and he'll stay in the same hotel. He puts a Do Not Disturb sign on for the whole 2 weeks. He doesn't want anyone touched coming into his room. And I think, in a way, that is a bit perverted.
Well, if you'd have seen what I got up to in my room, I would agree.
And that's
why
I perverted.
Well, I always sort of think like you know, you've had a long trip, and I'm not saying I do this, but I'm saying like a lot of people will sort of, they've had a long trip, they're flying alone, they'll get to their room, and I've said it before, they'll do a poo, they'll probably masturbate, and that's the first two things they'll do in that room. And the room must be thinking, this is only going to get worse.
But they work at a hotel. They know that people go for shits and masturbate and have sex. They know it's a hotel.
No, but a hotel room. Like, imagine a hotel room, what it's thinking. It's gone, this is only going to escalate.
Yeah.
It's going to be just at the walls. It's going to be blood everywhere. It's going to be horrible. If you're starting with a poo.
This is taking a turn. So my friend Phil runs a B&B, a guest house, and he says, you won't believe someone in the state that people leave rooms in. He said, don't think because you've been brought up well that everyone has, because sometimes it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, I bet. But I have got my most recent Airbnb review was that I left it as clean as a pin. I'm very good at cleaning up before I leave. I don't leave anything in a mess.
No, you are
but
overly
the things
polite.
I get up to.
You are overly polite to the point where I actually find it quite annoying. I would just say that the advantage, and people should email that. We will come onto some of your emails and some of your battery brands in a minute, but people should let us know what type of person they are, because you can be split into these two camps. And I think, for example, Mimi and I went to Bruges for her birthday 1 year, and I got an amazing deal on a hotel. I don't know how I was able to do it. I think it was fairly last minute. And we stayed at this place called the Heritage, beautiful 5-star hotel. Not the sort of place you normally stay in, but you know, sometimes you get lucky and you get the odd good deal. And they were so good that when you went out sort of sightseeing for the day, they would come into your room in the afternoon, give you all brand new sheets and everything perfectly spick and span. They'd leave handmade chocolates and handwritten notes on the bed for you to say, I hope you've had a lovely day, have this chocolate, come and see us in the bar for a drink, we'd love to see you. It's a beautiful service, and surely you're not going to get that if you behave like a perverted recluse like you, Donaldson.
I mean part of that is clearly the personal touch. There is an expectation for a decent and hefty tip,
and
I would still leave a tip even though they've but even if nobody, you know, dirties their boots in my room over 5 or 6 days, I'll still get a pretty hefty tip. But I just prefer every morning and evening not to be disturbed by someone coming in and offering me a towel. It's like, it's fine. I'm not, what do you think I'm doing to the towels that are going to be so dirty that I've had the same towel for like 15 years in my house?
Is that what you say to them?
Yeah. I'm not, like, I don't know what you do to your towels at home or your bedspreads, but I'm fine. 5 days, fine. Before we change.
I think that's, you don't need to change your bed in more than once in a week, I don't think. Generally. Anyway, no. Listen, let me do a couple of these battery brands because it's Thursday and that's what we do on a Thursday. Okay. Will Taylor has sent in this, Pete, a Zerne battery, Z-E-R-N-E, Zerne. To me, that is a new player. Can you confirm that, Peter?
I've not got a great memory, as you well know, but Zerne, no, that does not ring a bell. So that does not even charge up a bell for it to be able to be rung.
So same. So congratulations to you, Will Taylor. Mm. You officially are part of the club. You've brought a new player to enter the game with. Wes Cogan's been in touch with a Daily Max. I'm afraid, despite your best efforts, Wes, a Daily Max is not a new player. So better luck next time. And Michael Hayhoe on Instagram, at Luke and Pete Show, sent in a Kendall Large Capacity Strong Alkaline, which I think is a new player. Peter?
Yeah, Kendall's the sort of thing you would see in a B&B.
Kendall Mint Cake.
On the table next to Kendall Mint Cake. That looks lovely. And a really sort of retro blue and yellow styling
to it. So another new player from you. Well done, Michael. Kendall Large Capacity Strong Alkaline enters the vault as a new player entering the game. 2 out of 3 this week. Very, very good. Keep those coming in. Mm. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. If you're a new listener to this show, we identified a couple of years ago that in electronics, you get a load of really randomly named batteries, and we are trying to build up the world's biggest collection of them. So try and get a new player. Try and get a new battery that we haven't seen before. Email a picture of it, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com, or Instagram, or tweet us with it, at Luke and Pete Show. Peter, have you got an email?
Yes, I have. And it's from Joel from Charlottesville, Virginia. We talk a lot about dad behavior. We
also talk. Remember it?
What? Oh, the tiki torches.
Oh, sad. That's what that sounds like for now. That's really sad. Sorry about that, Joel. I didn't mean to bring it down.
Sorry, Joel. Hello, all. I just thought I'd flag this up, this news item out of Denver, Colorado from Saturday, where a plane had to return to Denver Airport after suffering an engine failure. Spectacular video, wasn't it, Luke?
Frightening. I don't know, you witnessed it.
I think with anything like that, when you look out when someone films an engine that is on fire, it's kind of smouldering with a few small fires breaking out on it, and it's still kind of going, still kind of sat there. I find that very heartening.
No, let me tell you something. I will only
manage with such redundancy.
Listen, I will only watch those types of videos if I know that all's well that ends well.
Normally, Joel from Charlottesville, Virginia, wouldn't bother me and Luke about things like this, but the plane in question dropped part of its engine on a residential neighborhood.
Oh, really?
This reminded me. Oh, mate. So this reminded me of when Luke shared some information about planes shearing off its engine mid-flight in case of emergency from a show from a few weeks ago. No one was hurt, but someone did end up with a massive piece of airplane in the front yard, a la Donnie Darko. The model of the plane, the Boeing 777. I did see that picture, and it looks like a big toilet seat.
Oh, really?
In the front garden. It's incredible. It really is. Another quick story about some dad behavior, if you're interested. This story is not mine, but my dad's story about his dad. My grandfather worked as a pediatrician, but was born into poverty in the 1920s. As a child of the Depression, he had a lot of difficulty throwing out food, even after it had gone bad. Once he even scraped the mold off bacon and put it back in the fridge. It was unclear if it was ever consumed, as my dad's siblings disagree on the outcome of that story. My grandfather passed away back in 2019, and all his dad chat is reminding me of some of the things he used to do. Thank you for making a lockdown more bearable. And he does compare the show to Gervais Merchant and Bill Kington, which we'd have to take opposition to.
No, we're much better than
very
that.
Celebrated and popular.
Get fucked.
Well, someone was having a go. We were talking about a big ape war, and somebody was having a go on Twitter that it was a story that they covered on Monkey News. In, I think it was 2006 or 2007.
Fuck
now,
me.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. And also, Pete.
A, how are we going to remember? B.
I was like, say,
monkeys are my forte.
It was a chimp, not ape. That's an uncharacteristic error by you.
Is it?
They were chimps, not apes.
Have a think about what you just said.
What?
Chimps aren't apes.
Oh, no, I didn't
have
say
a word
that.
With yourself. We're getting out of here.
Have I made a faux pas myself there?
You did, yeah. Chimps are apes, mate.
Sorry, mate. I know this is your specialist subject.
The big apes. Lesser apes. Gibbons.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The big boys. So you're talking your gorillas, the orangs.
You confuse me because all you do is send me gibbon gifs on WhatsApp.
I love a gibbon
and
gif.
And it poisoned my mind with your four gibbons, your four non-apes.
Oh, dear. Right, let's get out of here. We're clearly exhausted by this whole thing. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Get in touch on the Twitter, Luke and Pete Show, and Nat will be fielding your messages and stuff on the Instagram at Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah, and if you want to kind of send us in topics to talk about, you want to give us observations on the Instagram or the Twitter, then by all means do let us know on there. It doesn't have to be the old traditional email. And we'll be happy to chat about it. You know, I bet you thought it wasn't possible to do 10 minutes on Come Dine With Me, but you were wrong. So
no.
We are capable of almost anything, and mostly the things we are capable of are absolutely horrific. So bear that in mind and have a lovely weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, ta-ta. Farewell.
It's goodbye from me as well.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.